Well, good morning, everyone. Won't you stand with us as we go to the Lord in worship?
I was lost in chains, could not get past my pain till he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. See, I'm no longer. Story, and he's mine, yes, he's mine.
Well, sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I can see the light.
I'm so glad he changed me.
Now I'm walking free. I got the victory. See, it's all over me.
I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old.
Love the Lord this morning. Are you unashamed to say that he is yours? Come on. Come on. In this world where so many are afraid to say they're even following Jesus anymore, may we scream it from the mountaintops. May we know that our identity is in him, right? I am who I am because he says that I am that. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning and lift up some various needs that we're going to do in just a minute. So let's lift up the service. Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you right now, Lord, for this service. We thank you, Lord, that you have met us in this place. And maybe some of us today, it's been a little journey getting here. But we've gotten here, and we've come here to celebrate and honor you. And so, Lord, I start this service off this morning by praying for Lillian, my daughter, who's had a seizure and is at home resting this morning. Lord, we pray that you would just touch her this morning. But we also, Lord, pray that you would touch this service. Lord, may you lift our hearts today. May we be encouraged that we're not what the world says we are, we're what you say we are, or that we're more than overcomers. So we pray for your hand upon this service, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning for just a few moments. We thank you for that. Wanted first of all tell you thanks for being here and welcome once again. And if you are a guest, this is your first time here, or maybe it's your second time here, but you've never filled out a card and just given us a record of your attendance, that's in the seat back in front of you. And if you'd grab one of those and fill it out, it would really, really help us. And it's just a way for us to then turn back around and say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of our service today. And Pastor and Miss Carol send their greetings. They are in Vail, Colorado, celebrating their anniversary and having a good time. He sent me a message this morning and just said, I hope that your service is blessed. And so anyway, so I'll be speaking today as they're celebrating their anniversary. We have a few announcements for you, and so I don't want to miss those. So let me flip my book over here so I know exactly what's going on. Next Sunday morning, you're not going to want to miss. Mark Perkey, Evangelist Mark Perkey, will be here sharing with us. And so you want to be here as he challenges us with the word. And then after the service next Sunday morning, George Smith Sunday School class will be having a potluck dinner. And so we'll be providing the meat, and we're asking those of you that come to bring a side dish and a dessert or. But hey, it'd be okay, George, if they brought two things, right? Yeah, okay. And so I want to encourage you to do that, and we're going to have a wonderful time eating together after service next Sunday morning. also, this week coming up is Powwow, and so if you have not already got signed up, I don't know if it's too late. I'm looking for David. I don't know, but too late or... never too late. All right, David says never too late. So you can see David Smith about Powwow, and they have a great time doing that. That's going to be Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th. And then the women's ministry's got a couple of things going on. We're having a bake sale to help raise money for the tractor for Trent, and also they're having a survey they're doing right now, and so they'd love for you to be a part of that. You can find Miss Joyce in the back, and she'll give you a sheet that you can either fill out or you can scan the little code, because you know our phones are really impressive now, and it'll take you to a survey that you can fill out, and that will help us to kind of know where everybody's at and what's going on there. And so anything else that's in the bulletin, just read it. Keep up to date with it, and we're just excited that you are here. We're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 My goodness, we are in full-blown summer. It's just blowing by, and I just can't believe how quickly we're already here. And it's June now. We're going to blink, and it'll be July. But let's lift up tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you once again for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've given us. And we ask right now you'd multiply it. Lord, may your kingdom grow. May more people come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And may we give in all that we do with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen. After the offering bag passes, we're going to go back into worship.
So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken thing, raise them to glory. And you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavens, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory, and you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Oh, you conquered it all. You conquered it all, Jesus. Worship you this morning, Father. You are a champion. In every battle that we fight, we know that we will win, because if God is for us, who can be against us? We just thank you for that, Jesus.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. And when I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. And you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
You conquered it all.
You know, there's times that we can look back over our lives and we can see the evidence that God has moved and he has done things for us. Sometimes we don't see it as it's happening. We see it as we look back. He shows us the evidence that he's there. And he's working for us and through us many times. So let's just take a moment and just thank him. Not only has he worked for us in the past, but he's going to work for us in the future. So Lord Jesus, this morning I thank you for the evidence that you show us throughout every step in our life, that you are right there beside us. And that no matter what happens, you said you would never leave us or forsake us. So we thank you. We thank you for the things that you've done in the past and how you've moved and how you've brought us through things that we didn't think we could make it through. And Father, we thank you for in the future, for the miracles that you're going to perform, for the blessings that you're going to bestow upon your people, for the power that we're going to feel from your Holy Spirit, that you're going to help us to rise up to be a church that stands for you, and that we're not afraid, because you said that there's no spirit of fear and that you've not given us a spirit of fear. So we just stand here today ready and accepting a move of your Holy Spirit upon our lives to raise us up to become that church that you so desperately desire. And we just thank you, Father, Lord. We praise you, Jesus.
beside me. The winter storms make way for spring. In every season, from where I am standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life.
Evidence. We just want to thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. And Lord, I just believe that there are miracles that are going to happen. I believe that there is nothing impossible for you. So I thank you today for that. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you.
I will always have a reason to cry out. Father, I thank you for this glorious rescue, this moment of breakthrough. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. 'Cause your promise remains true. There's nothing you can't do.
past is never held over my head. 'Cause you see me through the blood that Jesus shed. And Father, I thank you for this glorious rescue, this moment of breakthrough. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. 'Cause this promise remains true. There's nothing you can do. Father, I thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We just worship you. We thank you, Father, for your glory. We just thank you, Jesus. We just praise you, for you are worthy.
Raised from my broken state, healed to eternal grace, and you call me yours. And you made a way for me, drowned fear in victory, and you call me yours. Your love is now my home, sorrow's been turned to hope, and you call me yours. And Father, I thank you for this glorious rescue, this moment of breakthrough. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. 'Cause your promise remains true. There's nothing you can. Father, I thank you.
Oh, 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 I thank you. Oh, 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 I thank.
We thank you. How many of you are thankful for the Lord today? Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes we can get so caught up in all the things that are maybe not going right, and we forget about all the things that He has done for us. Can you just lift your hands this morning and just let's just in this moment say, Lord, thank you. Just lift up thanks to God. Sometimes we don't need to just do our needs. Sometimes we just need to thank Him for what He's already done. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for when we were sick and you made us well. Lord, we thank you for when you found us bound and you set us free. Lord, we thank you when we were at a dead end and you made a way. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for when the doctor said this couldn't happen, but then it did. We thank you, Lord, for when man spoke against us, but God, you stood up for us. Lord, we thank you that in those times when no one else was around, you met us there. We thank you, Lord, that you are true to your word when you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. That you were true to your word, God, when you said that you would heal us. That you were true to your word, God, when you said that you would stick closer than a brother. You were true to your word, God, in every way. We thank you, God, that you've never broken a promise to us. That what your word says is true. And you prove it time and time again. We thank you for that today. And Lord, right now we lift up Glenna's grandson and his wife and their baby who's sick right now. We once again lift up Pastor and Miss Carol for safety during their trip. We pray for Mary Burrow's brother who's in the hospital with heart failure. And once again, I lift up Lily today and these seizures. God, we know that your wisdom is greater than man's wisdom. And Lord, we know that you can provide for us the right medication, the right procedure, the right everything that needs to happen to help her. And Lord, right now we lift up, if you just have a need, would you lift your hands today? Right now we lift up our hands as signifying we have a need. Lord, you see these hands and you know these needs. And Lord, whether they're health related, whether they're finance related, whether they're relationship related, whether they're emotional related, maybe there's some today here, God, who are fighting depression. God, I speak against that spirit of depression today. Or maybe there's some today who just don't know how they're going to pay their bills tomorrow. God, I pray just a blessing upon them, God. Lord, there's some today who aren't feeling well, or they have loved ones that are sick or facing huge medical obstacles. God, today we lift that up and we say, God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you, God, that by your stripes we are made well. And Lord, we ask that you would touch this service, touch everything that happens here. May your anointing be upon this place, this message, and all that happens. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Brother Hale wanted to share a testimony. Brother Hale, I'm going to come bring you the... How many of you guys know a testimony is a great thing? Amen.
I'll be 89 in August. When I was 18 years old, I lay dying on a hill in Korea. And I called for my mother. I called for the medics, and the North Koreans was hitting right on top of the hill that I was on. I was 18 years old. And I left God until last. When I did, I said, God, help me. I wasn't raised in church. My father, Papa, he was an alcoholic. That's the way I was raised. Until I went in the service at age 16, I was on Guam, and 18 in Korea. And I believed that I would have died. I was blown up by enemy mortar. And the Indian boy that was with me, it split us apart. Before we got hit, we were trying to dig into that hill, into a foxhole, but we couldn't do it. It was too hard. He said, let me try what you got. I forgot what I was digging with. And we swapped places. Later that night, he died. And I lived for a purpose. Yes, this might be the last testimony that I'll give. I'll be 89 in August. I'm hitting for 90. After I get to 90, I'm hitting for 100. Amen. I praise God. Yes. Oh, I praise God. I praise God. I praise God.
Amen.
He brought me into Pentecost through healing.
Come on.
In 1954, when I was at the end of my rope in an Assembly of God church in Oak Mulgee. In a revival service, yep. Brother Joseph DeGrado, a converted Roman Catholic, was preaching. He was praying for the sick, and I sat there. I told my sister-in-law, I'll never speak in those tongues. And she said, if you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in tongues. Well, I said in my heart, I'm going to go up to this evangelist, the person that's praying for this. He's rubbing something on my head. And I'm going to show these people that this isn't real. I went up. Yes, I went up. And before he laid his hands on me, God showed me that it was real. I never raised my hands up before. They shot straight up. I jumped off the platform. I ran twice around that auditorium with it rolling from down in here. I'm healed. I'm healed. And for years, God knows, I've been on roofs. I've been on ladders. I've done this and that. And I'm still trying to do things, cutting limbs. I'm still here. Amen. But tomorrow I might be gone. I'm not going to take any more of your time.
Well, hey, let's give a hand for that testimony. Come on. Come on. You know, when we hear a testimony, what we want to do is we want to focus in on things that will speak to our hearts. You may not remember the whole testimony, but let me encourage you this. When someone's given a testimony, ask yourself or ask the Lord, Lord, allow at least one thing, one nugget of truth, one something that will penetrate my heart and I can walk away with. I loved it. He said, I was saved for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And he said, I got out of that, Brother Hale. You said, hey, he said, I may not be here tomorrow, but today I'm here, and today I'm serving the Lord. Today. Come on, that'll speak to any of us. Today we should be serving the Lord. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Bible says, will take care of itself. But today is the day of salvation. And so, would you bow your heads right now? Bow your heads right now. And if there is anybody in this place, today is the day of salvation. And maybe because of this testimony, you're saying to yourself, I need to give my heart to the Lord. I don't want to wait for tomorrow because tomorrow may not come. And so today, if you're here and you just want to get right with Jesus, would you just simply raise your hand? Say, that's me. I want to raise my hand. I want to get right with the Lord today. If that's you in this place, come on. Come on, Lord, I pray right now for every person who raised their hand this morning. Lord, I pray that if they've been away from the Lord, that they would come back to the Lord. If they've never been in a relationship with God, that they would form a relationship today. And so, Lord, we pray right now that they would speak these words through their mouth and in their heart, that they would say, I forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on a cross, and I accept you, and I want to live for you from this day forward. And we know, Lord, your word says if they do that, that your word comes back true and they are in relationship with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Hale. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I want to speak to you in just a minute, but I want to share with you before that if you're going on the missions team to Denver, if you're going on the mission trip, we have a short meeting in my office right afterwards. I forgot to say that earlier. And so make sure that you find me at my office. Parents, it's not going to be very long. It's not like a normal one. And so I just need them for a few minutes, and then you can take them and feed them. I don't have to feed them today. Can I get an amen on that? So, amen. Youth budget's light. No, I'm just teasing. So we'll let you feed those wild banshees. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, I love the slide. That's awesome. Oh, it's not up here yet. The title of my message this morning is called The Faithful Shepherd. How many of you know that God is the shepherd? Come on. And we know this to be true because the scripture talks about it, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But, you know, the concept of discipleship known as shepherding was taught really stringently by the leaders of the charismatic movement. How many remember that when, like, shepherding was like the thing, like, we're going to shepherd, right? And the concept behind it was this, was that it was placing more mature Christians, so not even just the pastors, but mature Christian leaders in the church, placing more mature Christians in a mentorship or in a shepherding over those that were younger in Christ, maybe in the church, to help to guide and to lead and to help. And unfortunately, along the way, we, as humans often do, we got maybe a little bit exuberant on it until it got a little extreme, and where in some places, hopefully not anywhere you went to church, personal decisions couldn't be made anymore without the direction or permission from the actual shepherd. And who wants to answer to all your decisions, life choices to me? Anybody? Okay, so good choice. I think it was well-intentioned, and it was perhaps developed and emphasized in the church because there is a multitude of scriptural references to sheep and to shepherds. Matter of fact, there's a church in over by Westmore. I think it's called Westmore Community Church, and they call themselves the Flock That Rocks. Every time I read that, I just thought of a sheep playing a guitar. Okay, so anyway, the flock. But I want to talk to you about the faithful shepherd. And while few of us fully understand the life and work of a shepherd from personal experience, anybody raising sheep today? Anybody? Somebody's raising sheep? Abigail is raising sheep. I did not know that, Abigail. We do have significant information from Scripture. Shepherd, the word shepherd is mentioned in the Bible 115 times. How do you know if it's mentioned 115 times, it's probably important. The word sheep is mentioned over 200 times, 205 times to be precise. And the word flock, like a flock of sheep, is mentioned 199 times. So almost 200 times. And so this is a concept that is near and dear to the Lord's heart. And what we need to understand is this. The figurative language in Scripture of the word shepherd not only refers to Christ, although that's mainly what we're going to be talking about today, but it also referred in the Scripture to the leaders of Israel and to ministers and pastors. You've heard that expression before, that he's the shepherd of that flock, that he's shepherding those people. Are you with me today? Amen. In our attempt to identify Christ as the shepherd, it's important for us to look at the context of these passages. So I want us to look at three passages as I open up today, and we're going to go from there. So the first one is John chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. It says, I am the good shepherd. Everybody say good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Okay? I want to look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, Now may the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, everybody say great shepherd, of the sheep. And one last passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4, it says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's, so this is us being challenged to be shepherds. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, everybody say chief shepherd, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Can I get an amen? The shepherd is faithful. And I read you these three passages of Scripture because I'm giving you a clue in on the three points of our message today, because the Bible describes the Lord as a good shepherd, as a great shepherd, and as a chief shepherd. And so I want us to dive into that, okay? So the first is that Christ is the good shepherd as our friend. How many of you need a friend today? Come on. Come on. Well, we know that song, You Have a Friend in Jesus, right? Well, the word good means to be intrinsically good. It means by nature. It means that God is the good shepherd because goodness is a part of the character of God. You cannot take goodness out of God. It's a part of all that he is. How many of you know that God is good? God is good. You notice that in the Scripture, in John chapter 10, verse 11, it says that the good shepherd gives his life or lays down his life for the sheep. And is not like the hireling who flees from difficulty in chapter 10, verse 13, where it says the man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. It's just a job. Like, there's a wolf coming, I'm out. How many of you, if a wolf's coming, you're out, all right? You're like, we'll get more sheep, all right? We'll get more sheep. Unfortunately, there's some, okay, anyway, I'm not going to get off on that tangent. Some pastors like that too. Okay, I didn't say that. All right, notice the good shepherd lays down his life. How many of you know that somebody lays down their life for you probably is a good friend? I mean, listen, Lance, if there was a train coming and it was coming towards you and the only way to save you is for me to throw my body and to knock you off those tracks, and, you know, and I'd probably have to give my life, you would not believe how awesome those flowers at your funeral is going to be. Love you, Lance. There are times when we simply need a friend. We need someone who will just to be with us. How many of you know the scripture says that if God is for us, who can be against us? He's the good shepherd because he's the perfect friend. We need a friend sometimes to be a sounding board. How many of you sometimes you go, I just need to talk to somebody about this. I just need to tell somebody about this. Let me tell you something. When you find yourself at a place where you're like, I just need to figure out if I've lost my mind or if I've got it all in line, the person, the greatest friend you can go to is the good shepherd. God anxiously awaits to help us through prayer. He wants us to talk to him. We need a friend to save us from ourselves and our foolish choices sometimes. How many ever had a friend talk you out of doing something that was dumb? Come on. How many of you wish Lance would talk me out of things that I was, okay? Amen. Here's the great thing is that when God is your friend, then you have the greatest asset ever as far as wisdom, because God's wisdom is greater than any man's wisdom. So how do we define a friend? How do we define a friend? Is a friend one who always agrees with you? Anybody have a friend that always agrees with you? I mean, is a friend somebody who goes, you know what, sure, cheating on your taxes, that sounds good. The IRS won't know. That's not a friend. That's terrible. Is a friend someone who has all your like interest, everything that you like? Can you only be friends with somebody who likes the things that you like? No, I've got lots of friends and they like different things. Matter of fact, some of them won't take me fishing. I didn't say your name again. Or is a friend someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out? It's called faithfulness. And we have a God who is a faithful shepherd. He's a true friend. Christ is the good shepherd as our friend. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, I actually want to read this in the Amplified version because I just think I love the way it was. So it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptation, but one who has been tempted," love this, "knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin." Let me read that again. "For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize and understand." He understands us, understands our weaknesses. He understands our temptations. He was one who was tempted, knowing exactly how it felt to be a human just like us, in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Sometimes the best friends are ones that you just want to befriend people who are getting it right, right? So if you're in business, it's usually a good idea to be friends with somebody who's a good business person. You know? If you're trying to live your best life for the Lord, it's probably a good idea to find somebody who seems to be getting it right. And if we really want to be successful, then the person we would most want to choose as our friend should be the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd who knows how it feels, who sympathizes and understands our weaknesses, and yet still did it without committing any sin. Amen? Amen. A friend comes to your rescue when you're in crisis. You know, it's easy to find friends when everything's going great. Have you ever figured that out? Things aren't going good. It's like, where is everybody at? But when things are going good, ask the prodigal son. When he had money, he had friends. But when he didn't, he had pigs. That's what he had. Trust me, it's in the scripture. But a friend comes to your rescue when you're in crisis. Let me give you an example of this in scripture. Jonathan came to the aid of his friend David when it would have been in his best personal interest to let his father, King Saul, just kill David. Don't you think, for a moment at least, Jonathan thought, you know, maybe I just let my dad do his thing. I don't know if I really want to make my dad. I mean, my dad's he's kind of in a homicidal, murderous kind of mood. Sometimes that doesn't stop with one person. But the scripture says that Jonathan came to the aid of his friend David. You see, crisis, we may face it in different forms. Crisis may come in the loss of a loved one. Crisis may come in the struggle of finances. The crisis may come in the loss of a job. Crisis may come in the breaking down or the loss of a relationship with somebody or something or whatever it may be. Crisis comes in various different forms in our life, but the truth is that it can be crisis can be defined by one characteristic. It's when life gets out of control. Crisis happens when we can no longer control the issue. We no longer know what to do, and it's just spiraling around. It's like a tornado in the middle of our life, and we're just watching things fly, and we don't know how to put it all back together. You know what I'm talking about today? But here's the great thing, is that the shepherd's friendship is strongest during crisis. The friendship we have with the shepherd is strongest during our craziest out-of-control times. He actually excels in those moments of our life when things are just going crazy. And so the next time that you're in crisis, the next time things are going wild and crazy, this morning, I wouldn't describe this morning as a crisis, but certainly discouraging with Lily. And I just said, Lord, I just was praying there, praying on the way back, spent a little time down here at the altar praying. I said, Lord, you're in control. I give you all control. Stop the tornado, please. A friend loves in spite of our weaknesses and shortcomings. That's what the scripture says. It says he loved us even though he knew. He sympathized with our weaknesses. And the good shepherd's a good friend because he sympathizes with our weaknesses and shortcomings. You know, Job had some real good friends who only knew how to criticize and find fault. Story of Job where he loses everything, right? Loses his kids, loses his cattle, loses the house, falls down, everything's falling in. And, you know, he really, in the middle of crisis, he needs somebody to pick him up. He's at the weakest point of his life. And instead, his friends go, you know, you should have saw this coming. I mean, look at all this in your life, and man, where's this and where's that? Anybody ever had friends like that? Run. Proverbs 17:17 says this. It says, a friend loves at all times. Everybody say all times. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Say all times. All right. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You know, that second part, a friend loves at all times, a brother is born for a time of adversity. This is interesting because sometimes friendships are birthed out of times of adversity. Have you ever gone through a tough time and came out of it with new, stronger friendships? Because you found somebody new to walk beside you, or you found somebody who maybe was a casual friend, but now they're a close friend because they walked with you through that. Hey, same thing works with the shepherd, with Jesus. If we will draw close to him during times of adversity, you'll actually walk out of adversity closer to the ultimate friend than maybe you ever have been before. Come on now. Perhaps a good paraphrase of this point is this. Real friends are those who, when you have made a fool of yourself, do not think you've done a permanent job. They see the best in you. The shepherd's friendship is kindest during our moments of weakness. You know what? A friend is honest. A true friend is honest with you. Proverbs 27:6 says it this way. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Sometimes we need accountability. Sometimes we need for people to say you're doing wrong, or you're not going right, or you need to do this better, or hey, I believe in you, but hey, we've got to do this better. And the truth is that a bad friend, what they call an enemy, is one who just says, oh, you're good, you're the greatest, and lets you walk right off the mountaintop. Just watches you walk to the cliff. Oh, great. Just keep going right ahead. But a true friend, it says the wounds of the... Now, because it hurts to be corrected, right? If you prune something, you're cutting something away, that it hurts to be pruned and to have accountability. But the wounds of a friend can be trusted. We have this big bush in the front of our house, right in front of the window there. I don't even know what kind it is. I need Doris or Elaine to tell me. But anyway, the freeze happened. And it's not good, people. I think the bush is dead. I started cutting it out, right? You know, you're just like, well, it's dead. Let's cut it. And so I'm cutting things, and I'm just cutting and cutting. And I get to the bottom, and I notice that there's some parts that's live, that's growing out at the very bottom. Now, I want you to understand, when I say bush, I'm talking about, you know, not bush. But I got down to about the size of this, and there was stuff kind of growing out of it. And I thought to myself, well, maybe it'll bounce back. So they wanted me to dig it out, but I left it. But here's what I need you to understand is that sometimes we've got this big, we think we've got all this going on, and yet it's just dead. Well, Lord, to cut it, you're just going to have to trust me. That's what I kept saying. I said, listen, just trust me. I think it's going to be fine. I don't know that to be true. I don't know it to be true, but I have faith, all right? I have faith that it's going to bounce back. What you need to understand is that the wounds of a friend can be trusted. Sometimes we need tough things to be said to us. Your best friend is the one who requires you to be accountable. That's your best friend. If people aren't keeping you accountable, they're not that great of friends, really. I'm not saying critical people, all right? I'm saying people who constructively are trying to help you to be the best you can be. Here's what I would tell you. A few honest friends are much better than dozens of admirers. If you don't remember anything else today, if you'll remember that, a few honest friends are much better than a dozen admirers. The shepherd's friendship provides accountability. If you'll get close to God and allow him to and be in friendship and relationship with him, he will prune those things away. It's not easy, but they can be trusted. You can be trusted to take away the things that literally, I really believe that bush is going to grow. And I think getting all the dead off of it is actually going to help it to grow. I'm believing. I will give you an update in a future sermon. Unless it doesn't grow, then it doesn't help me in the sermon. So then I'll just mention it in passing. Lastly, a friend maintains communication maintains you. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He said, I used to call you servants, but now I call you friends. Why? Why? Because I've communicated with you. I've shared with you. I've poured out of myself into you. The shepherd's friendship gives us clarity and it gives us safety. Amen? Amen. All right, we talked about the good shepherd. I want to talk about the great shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd as our Savior. Come on now. Come on. Christ is the great shepherd as our Savior. The word great, actually, in this passage of Scripture implies rank. It's actually rank. It's not saying, hey, that's just great. It's saying great, as in above others. The word used here implies a ranking system. And what I want to do in just the next few minutes, and so try not to zone out on me because this is really interesting, is I want us to walk a little bit through the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews shares with us this concept. Christ is better. Everybody say, Christ is better. But was he better then? All right, you ready? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 says this. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Here's what you need to know. Christ is the great shepherd, and he's a Savior because he is even more, he has the rank to be our Savior because he's superior to even the angels. Are you with me? Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus had been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Moses, the prophet, a great leader of the Scripture, led people, right? Remember, he went to Pharaoh and he said, what? Let my people go, right? And in that moment, under God's direction, he leads the Israelites out, goes to the Red Sea, right? Does that really cool, whoosh, you know, and the Red Sea splits. And then my favorite part as a kid, after they got across, the scene in the video where, because it's a cartoon, so it's not bloody. And then he goes across, and then here comes the chariots, you know, Pharaoh's, and they drown. They're done, right? They are done. And you're like, yeah, Moses showed them. So... apparently none of the rest of y'all are living vicariously through Bible stories, but I've always been an action film kind of guy. So, but the Scripture says this, that Moses may have led the Israelites out of Egypt, but Jesus is better because he is the Savior of the world. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Here's what you need to understand. God is greater because God provides rest when Joshua didn't. There's a deeper study about that. I'm not going to go real long, but I just need to understand. I'm naming angels. Moses, Scripture says that he's greater than Joshua. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, and no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was, talking about a high priest. And in the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. Son though he was, he learned that we skipped to verse 8. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Here's what you understand. Aaron was a high priest, but Jesus, he was the highest of the high priest. He was the Son of God. He was greater. See, when the Scripture says that he is the great shepherd, they're not just going, well, this isn't for at the risk of being funny, this isn't Frosted Flakes. It's great. No. No. When the Bible says that he's the great shepherd, what they want you to know is he's great. He's greater than all. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Joshua. He's greater than Aaron, who was a high priest, but wasn't the high priest. And in chapter 9, here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 13, it says, "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands." He didn't go, it wasn't the high priest. It says that it is to say is not a part of creation. "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves." That's what all the other, they sacrificed animals. No, he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are unceremonially clean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean." Here's what you need to understand. All the other high priests sacrificed animals. The high priest sacrificed himself. That's a different level of commitment. He is the Savior. In Luke chapter 15. I have a lot of scripture today. Luke chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. It says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 of the righteous who do not need to repent." Jesus is the great shepherd because he's a Savior. Here's what it says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says he came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here's what makes Christ the great shepherd as our Savior. He didn't die so that some wouldn't perish. He died so that none would perish. He's looking for the one. I don't know where you're at today. This isn't in my notes. But maybe you've got a loved one. Maybe you've got a friend who's so far from God right now, you don't think they could see him if they were looking. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus didn't just die for the people in this room. Jesus died for them too. And his deepest desire as your friend and as your Savior, as the great shepherd, is that they wouldn't perish either. So don't you stop praying. Don't you stop believing. Don't you stop working. Don't you stop trying. Because Jesus' sacrifices was good enough for you and me, and it's good enough for them too. Come on now. That's not even in my notes. Bonus material. Here's what I would say. Never stray away from Christ, the great shepherd, who conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave for us. Salvation comes only through the great shepherd. And lastly, I want to talk about the chief shepherd. Don, you can come on. Christ is the chief shepherd as our mentor. I mean, you know we all need a mentor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, we read that at the very beginning of my message, and I want to look back at it again. It says this, it says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Here's the qualities of a spiritual leader. Being willing to provide spiritual nourishment. Being a willing servant. Looking around this church and saying, "Hey, what can I do? What can I do?" Because God is the chief shepherd, and he's wanting to mentor us. And the way he mentors us is through being able to be a willing servant, being eager to serve, being an example within the church. In verse 4 of Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You need to understand that this expression, chief shepherd, is used only here, and it's used only to refer to Christ. There's only one chief shepherd. He alone, because he's the chief, he alone has the right to evaluate what you and I have done for him. Philippians chapter 2, Paul calls upon the believers to follow the example of Christ, where in verse 5 he says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. This is a common theme through Scripture where those that wrote the books of the Bible continue to challenge us to, as Christ is, may we also be. Scripture says that in Philippians 2 that he made himself of no reputation. That should be us today. We shouldn't worry about what others think of us. We should be focused on what the mentor, the chief shepherd, care. That he took the form of a servant. That the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That he was made in the likeness of man so that because it's hard to be mentored when somebody isn't like you. But when they're like you, you go, oh, they know my weaknesses. And he humbled himself and was obedient even to death. Romans 8:17 says it this way. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It means that we have a commonality with Christ in both the way that we serve people, we should, and our ability and willingness to suffer for the cause of Christ. And ultimately, here's the great thing. If we'll follow the chief shepherd in what he's trying to mentor us to be, if we'll follow his example, then the truth is that not only do we have commonality in serving and in suffering, but ultimately in being glorified. Because the Scripture says, and when the chief shepherd appears, how many of you guys are ready for the chief shepherd to appear? Come on. When the chief shepherd appears, you receive the crown of glory. Listen to this. Everybody always goes, ooh, crown of glory. And how many of you hear one thing and you fade off? Listen to this. You receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Paul says this in his final letter in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And so this is what I would say to you today. Are you following the faithful shepherd? He's a good shepherd. He is a good friend. He's the best friend you could ever have. Are you following the great shepherd? Because he is the only Savior. He's not just the Savior. He's the only Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, the great shepherd. And are you following the chief shepherd who mentors, who's shown us what to do? And are we honoring him by doing it? Because the great thing is this, is we should be willing to do what he's asked us to do simply because of what he's already given us, eternal life. Right, he's already forgiven us of our sins. But the kicker is that the Scripture says that God is a good Father, right? That he loves to give good gifts. So he says, listen, I'm gonna save you from your sin. I'm gonna give you eternal life. And I'm asking that you would serve the kingdom of God and allow others to receive the same gift. Share with them about your testimony. Thank you, Brother Hale. Share with them about what I've done in your life. And at the end, even though I've already given you all this, I'm gonna give you a crown of glory too. So do you want to live a godly life? Do you want to follow the shepherd who will never let even one stray away? Time and time again, we've heard that Christ must be the focal point of our living and of our preaching and our teaching. Here's what I would say to you today. He is our friend. He is our redeemer. And he is our mentor. He's not just the faithful shepherd, but he is the good. He is the great, and he is the chief shepherd. Will you bow your heads this morning? We thank you, Lord, for every person in this place. And Lord, I pray a prayer, a blessing over each and every one of those who have heard this message, whether it's here in the house or whether it's online today. I pray, Lord, it's spoken to our hearts today. I pray it's been encouraging. I pray, Lord, that people would draw to you as their friend, that they would trust you as their Savior, and they would believe in you as their mentor. Lord, we thank you for these things today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. The first Sunday of every month, we receive communion. And so they're going to serve you today. You don't even have to leave your seat. And so you're welcome for that. And communion is a way of us remembering, but also honoring the sacrifice that Jesus paid upon the cross for our sins. And I think this is an appropriate message for an appropriate day and an appropriate time as we commit to communion. As they pass it out, our worship team is going to sing. Says this, and while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, would you take the bread, and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken. Lord, you didn't have to, but you did anyway. Lord, you didn't have to, but You did. Lord, we thank you for your friendship. We thank you, the Lord, that you're the Savior. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would touch each person that's in this place this morning. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take the bread? And then he took the cup and gave thanks, and he offered to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Lord, we thank you for the cup. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you spilled your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, as the song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You knew you were our only hope, and yet you still did it. And I praise you and I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Would you stand as we conclude this morning? Amen. Amen. How many are glad that we have a faithful shepherd? Where would we be? Lost in sin, destined for death, except for his sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for our church family. I thank you for those that have joined with us online this morning. And Lord, I thank you that you are the greatest friend, the greatest Savior, and the greatest mentor we could ever have. You are the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day and use today to honor what God has done for you. Amen.